from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
It's not just about watching the game, it's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it, it's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
You know, the funny thing about looking through, like, these player cut trackers, NFL.com has one. Well, one funny thing is every team has cut, like, at least 8 to 10 guys, if not more. The Texans still only have McTelvin Agim listed on the NFL.com's cut tracker. So there's going to be a lot of news coming down over the next 6 hours. Keep it tuned right here to Sports Radio 610. Also, we're giving away 4 tickets to the Cougs season opener, the beginning of the Willie Fritz era, a little later on this hour, so be listening for that. But it's funny, Seth, too, just to skim through here, and you start to see there's, like, names of old Texans, like, oh, I didn't know that
Derek
guy
Rivers
was there.
Yeah.
You know, like, oh, like the Titans just cut Ty Zentner, that really horrible punter that punted for Cam Johnston 3 times last year.
Yeah.
In 3 games.
And you do start wondering, though, too, without not that name specifically, some of them where they have a, I mean, it seemed like Derek Rivers was on this roster on and off forever. He was just released by the Colts.
Was he?
Yeah. I don't think he makes this squad. I don't think Derek Rivers is a guy that was kept around on. There's nobody on this defense. The number of defensive ends that they have, including a couple of the guys they're going to cut, I think are better than the upside of Derek Rivers.
Yep. Like, I'm looking, the Broncos cut Philip Dorsett. Remember Philip Dorsett was the number 3 receiver for this team?
Philip Dorsett was, it was fun having Philip Dorsett on the team as kind of just some that we had salvaged, because at one point Jim Irsay was almost gloating about the fact that they'd gotten Philip Dorsett, where the Texans really wanted him, and the Texans did end up picking him up for nothing after he didn't work out for the Colts.
Angelo Blackson was on the Broncos, had no idea he was there, still kicking around the league a little bit.
Well, who was there was a player, a defensive tackle from the, oh, Carlos Watkins was playing in the most recent preseason game against the Texans. Yeah.
Was he really?
Remember Carlos Watkins? He was really good at getting on camera. He was always, like, he'd be dressed but not used in the game. Or if he was inactive, he was a game day inactive. But he was always kind of hovering near the defensive coordinator. So you'd see him and you'd remember that Carlos Watkins was on the team. I liked Carlos. I wish it had worked out.
You liked him because he had your old number. That's why.
He was a 91?
He was a 91. He was Club 91, man. Yeah. Yeah, he was.
Who's 91 this year?
Oh boy. Is it
McTelvin Agim?
Is it Foley Fatakasi?
Oh, it's Foley Fatakasi. Yeah, he's safe.
Yeah. No,
he's worthy.
He's worthy.
I deem him worthy of wearing the number 91. I like Foley Fatakasi a lot.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. All right, so biggest questions for this team right now as we sit here at 9 o'clock, 6 hours out from a 53-man roster. I would say the Pierce conundrum is probably still the biggest thing hanging over this team. We don't know what's going to happen with Cam Akers, who had an excellent, excellent training camp and preseason. And you can't say the same thing about Dameon Pierce. And yet he didn't dress for the game on Saturday. DeMeco continues to say, not glowing things about Pierce, but at least nothing intimating that he's going to be cut from the team or anything like that. So I think this is the biggest thing I'm waiting to see, man, is Pierce on a different team when 3 o'clock rolls around.
Look. He said what DeMeco said last week in the press conference was, I asked DeMeco what Damian's biggest obstacle was right now, and he said he just needs more opportunities, and that he's had bad blocking in front of him. And then they didn't play him in the game. So I guess the more ops would, if I'm taking everything at face value, then the only place you're going to get more opportunities is in the regular season. And I can convince myself one way or the other based on D'Amico's statements about Damian, whether it was a ringing endorsement or whether he's just kind of like saying, well, we're not sure. We just don't know. Personally, I think it's time for Damian himself. I think he'd be better off in a different situation, and I think it's time for the Texans, especially when you have these hard. You've got a lot of promising young guys. You've got Cam Akers, who looks rejuvenated and brings an element. He's a different type and style of runner than Joe Mixon is. You know, like, so you have to add that into the mix. When you want a guy who's a little bit smaller but speedier and shiftier, can be maybe more of a threat as a receiver out of the backfield than Joe Mixon can in some ways. They're both good out of the backfield, but in just different ways.
Yeah.
There's almost a little bit of a redundancy with Damian Pierce and Joe Mixon.
Yeah.
You know, like, okay, except that the redundancy comes if you're talking about the 2022 version of Damian Pierce.
Right. Yeah, you've brought up the word blind spot to describe what could potentially be happening here. We don't know. Until it plays out, we don't know.
A blind spot that D'Amico and Caserio might have for Damian Pierce.
Yes. And in conjunction with that, if Cam Akers were to not make the team. Because I started, as you were saying that, I'm like, okay, has D'Amico had blind spots before with guys? And I guess the closest thing that you could categorize as a blind spot before for D'Amico might be Damian last year for the first 7 games. Like, you could see a few games into the season, like, okay, this isn't really working.
Right.
I would say Jalen Petrie, maybe last year. Like, Jalen got treated like a guy who was probably playing better than he actually was. I think the difference between those two last year and this year, if it were to play out this way where they keep Pierce and cut Akers, is that with Petrie by the end of the year, there just weren't any better solutions out there. They were ravaged with injuries at safety. Similarly, once D'Amico saw that there was a better solution than Damian Pierce after Pierce got hurt for a bit, he stuck with that solution. He didn't go back to Damian. The thing that would be disturbing here would be if they kept Pierce and cut Cam Akers, because Cam Akers is just so clearly a better option for this football team right now.
Right.
Like, that would be, and that's where I sit back and I go, man, Nick and D'Amico are not, I mean, I get the nature of a blind spot is you're just not seeing things at all, but like, is a super blind spot right there, if that would be the route they went.
The other part I would say with Jalen is that they took active measures in trying him out differently. And they said, okay, well, all right, let's use him in the role they're using him in this year, as opposed to just treating him like he's an actual safety. And that was part of it. Where with Damian, I know, I don't get too hung up on the zone run versus gap scheme stuff or what have you. I mean, there was a play in the preseason where it's old school. Well, it's not old school. They ran power. It was out of shotgun, which is not old school, but they ran power, gap scheme stuff, and there was a hole for Damian to hit, and it wasn't beautiful blocking, it wasn't perfect, but Damian got a tackle for a loss out of it, where I just very easily see other backs on the roster, at the very least, getting positive yardage out of it. I think the problem is Damian's blind spot right now is right in front of him, and his vision for actually seeing blocking and hitting the hole, and then as far as his actual play, he's just not running those same level of physicality. Whether the blocking's good or bad, he's not knocking people back. He's not turning a bad play into at least positive yardage. We just haven't seen anything out of him like that, and it's been going on for over a year now. That's the other part of the problem.
All right, we've got some news coming in now. We've got a notable cut from the Texans, and this is notable because this is a player that did not play in the game on Saturday, a healthy player who'd been banged up at times, but healthy the week leading up to the game, that is getting released by the Texans, and it is veteran corner and former Jags first-round pick C.J. Henderson.
Okay.
Who I had on my 53 based on the fact that he didn't suit up on Saturday. So I'm already 0-1.
I guess he hadn't suited up. I mean, he'd missed a lot of time during training camp with injuries, and I'd say of those two veterans, I always thought it was going to be one of either Okuda or Henderson.
He's played less than Henderson has, Okuda.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Okuda, Henderson was at least practicing against the Rams, and he was out there that week. Okuda's been out for almost a month now with a hip. But maybe, you know, they look. This is one of the position groups for the Texans that is pretty thin. You know, it could be that, you know, Jeff Okuda might make this 53-man roster just based on his traits. You know, he's long and rangy, you know?
It's one of those things we talked about a lot in the offseason, but then I think I got, you know, I got so enraptured by Kamari Lassiter and I was so impressed by him that I'm guilty of looking more at the starters there. But then you have to go back and remember what we talked about in the offseason, too. Derek Stingley has yet to play a complete, not even a completely healthy, but like he hasn't had a healthy season since 2019. He's had serious physical setbacks and or illness in every one of those seasons. Mm-hmm. So depth at cornerback is something you can't go into this treating it like the Astros did the first base position this last offseason.
Right. So CJ Henderson cut by the Texans. I got to keep an eye here on see if there's any other Texan cuts. Aaron Wilson is the one who I'm looking at here, and he is. Oh, okay. Here's another Texans cut. Troy Pride Jr. So I guess they're starting with the cornerback position.
And part of that might be that they've seen guys on the waiver wire that they're interested in, you know, and then they got to sit and they wait for that guy to potentially show up. But, yeah, that might be the first indication that they're planning on some of the depth at cornerback is going to come from guys who aren't currently on the Texans roster.
I think if you're looking at positions right now, if you faithful listener, or somebody who likes to sit there and kind of workshop a 53-man roster like some of us do, if you're looking at a position where you're asking yourself, where could this be a position where the Texans ultimately enter week one with a couple of guys that aren't even on the in the building right now, cornerback's near the top of the list for me.
I command F'd the list of cuts that are listed on NFL.com right now.
Yeah.
And I'm having a hard time even finding names of cornerbacks that I recognize. There's no big names out there quite yet I scroll down through these. But A.J. Green is a big name, but not as a cornerback.
No.
So,
there's a cornerback named A.J. Green?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Be a hell of a position change at his age. Drafted in 2011, I'm going to try to make it as a cornerback. So I think the Pierce conundrum is a big question. Again, if you're just tuning in, CJ Henderson and Troy Pride Jr. both let go by the Texans per Aaron Wilson.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valenti, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I think wide receiver after the top three, still a big question. Here's D'Amico Ryans on the wide receiver room.
Yeah, we have a really tight wide receiver room, right? It's a lot of good players in their room. A lot of guys made a lot of plays throughout the training camp practices, and also some guys showed up in the games as well. Feel really good about the room that we have. You know, you have the top three guys that we have. Are all big-time playmakers, but all the other guys have stepped up and made plays at some point, right? And that's a good problem to have, Jonathan. When you have as many guys as we have, it's a really good problem, and I'm definitely excited about the group. I think Coach McDaniel's done a great job of working with that group and getting those guys better.
He's not lying. Like, you look at that wide receiver room and all the names in the preseason games, they've all made plays. Now, granted, some of them have been in the fourth quarter against the other team's threes.
Right.
But, like, even Quintez Cephas and Johnny Johnson III are doing things out there.
And I think, too, you got to, you know, you got to take what you can despite whatever the level of competition is. I think the one good thing that a lot of those receivers have done is they've made some tough catches, you know, on inaccurate throws or not perfect throws. And with, I think, Mechie especially. But then Xavier Hutchinson has done it with the twos. And we've seen all camp long. Xavier Hutchinson is quarterback proof. It's not like there's one quarterback that likes Xavier Hutchinson. They all seem to trust him. They all seem to find him in practice or in games, and I think he's relatively safe. At this point, though, when you have to make some tough cuts, I think that the Texans wide receiver room is the one that probably will have potentially received the most trade offers. You know, there's reports that teams have offered or inquired about John Mechie. I'd be surprised if they relinquished him unless it was a King's rant, not a King's, you know, but like really high for where he is. So I think it might just come down to whoever, the guy that's gone is the guy that got the best trade offer.
Could be.
You know, does Noah Brown get a better offer than Robert Woods? Is it as simple as that? And that those might be the guys that are gone, as if the Texans just feel like they got a good offer for him.
Here's D'Amico on Xavier Hutchinson. Does this sound like a coach who's about to keep this guy?
Talk about guys like Xavier Hutchinson, just seeing the progress he's made from year one to year two. It's been pretty cool, right, to see his growth, see his development.
Okay.
Okay, so I guess that one, was that part of the same answer about just the wide receivers room in general?
It might have been an adjunct to it, yeah.
Yeah, I think that's, I always read into guys bringing up people's names.
Proactively like
wasn't,
that?
I know there wasn't a specific... There wasn't a specific question about him. So, you know, at the very least, he brought it up unprompted.
Yeah.
He hasn't necessarily done that with Damian Pierce.
No, he's not.
You know?
Yeah.
Now, he hasn't done it with other running backs either, but I do think that it's not as... I think if they were 100% certain about Damian Pierce, yes, D'Amico has given Damian some praise, but it doesn't sound like the same kind of emphatic praise that you do for a guy who's definitely on the squad.
If I were to pull anything from that cut we just played emphatically, if I were to be like... pound my fist on the table, but I think Xavier Hutchinson's making the team. you know, like you proactively, without being asked about him, brought up how much he's developed from year one to year two.
I think if you look at the gauge of Xavier Hutchinson versus, or I guess let's Xavier Hutchinson and John Mechie making the team, I think going into training camp, I think probably the consensus was more along the lines of, well, they'll probably keep one of those guys. Those guys are in a competition. And then early in camp, it was, wow, John Mechie looks completely different and good. And people, a lot of people assumed that it would be John Mechie over Xavier Hutchinson. I was in that camp for 2 or 3 weeks. And then Xavier Hutchinson, though, continued to show up. And John Mechie was dropping passes all over the place. And then Xavier Hutchinson took the lead. I think we've settled into where most people probably feel like, okay, both those guys make
both
the squad.
Of them. That's where I'm at, man. I got them both making it. And I think that's the right decision. What do you think they do? If Andrew Beck has to get put on IR, what do you think they do at fullback?
That's another thing that gets
it's a huge
tough.
Question.
Right. And D'Amico talked about that yesterday and, you know, was talking about how it's a game-by-game situation, how you use those guys. And then I also think it's one of those things where you don't want to keep a fullback on the roster just because you feel like you got to have a fullback. It's got to be the right kind of guy. These days, it's more often a guy who's kind of like a tight end. More, you know, Beck is a converted tight end, so he's a tight end slash fullback. The tough thing about those guys is it's really hard for tight ends to have the same impact on running plays because they can't, you know, your classic fullback is a shorter, stockier dude that can get up underneath the chin of linebackers and defensive linemen and just pave the way. And none of the guys like the kid they just signed from the Jets or Andrew Beck or any of those guys are quite like that. I look at British Brooks and I kind of think, God, he looks more, and even though he's a bigger running back, like he looks more like an old school fullback, but who can also catch out of the backfield and is an actual rushing threat.
Yeah.
That's the kind of versatility where I think, man, as long as Andrew Beck is injured, they might look at British Brooks as a running back with upside, but who also might be able to be utilized as a blocking backer like they did versus the Rams.
Yeah.
And that's a tough decision to make right now.
It is. I wonder with Brooks if they feel like, We can release him. We can put him on waivers. I don't think anybody's going to pick him up. Because you pick him up on waivers, you got to put him on your 53-man roster. So yeah. I think they're going to look at it and go, I don't think anybody's going to pick him up. And then they throw him on the practice squad, and then they can elevate him for a few weeks and see how it goes, you know, without having to cut corners at another position, you know.
This is where I would say, man, British Brooks, 5'10", Andrew Beck, 6'3". I like British Brooks. I like give me a short fullback. Sean, there's nothing more degrading than these damn fullbacks who are like 5 foot nothing coming up and blasting you and giving you the most pain you've felt on a football field. It's just different.
Beck is 6'3"?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
You thought he was short for a tight end.
I guess in my mind he's burned into my mind as a fullback. You know what I mean? Like that's maybe that's why. Like wow.
How do you spell Kyle Juszczyk's name? I got it. Here, Kyle Juszczyk is he's now Juszczyk's 6'2".
I'm cool with being asked questions I don't know the answer to, but that one was dirty pool
I know it started with a J.
I know it's got no vowels.
Juszczyk is shorter than like the hybrid tight end slash fullback, but he's still a taller guy, and he's obviously like way more athletic and capable as a receiver than the old school fullbacks, but. 6'2 might be my limit for a guy I consider an actual fullback.
All right, couple things here. Let's first next segment. Played this yesterday, but this is for the 9 o'clock crowd. Which quarterback would you least want to be stuck in an elevator with for 2 hours? That's based on a story that happened in Dallas this weekend. That where the audio from it is incredible. We will get
to topical.
That. It's topical. Because we have a quarterback, I think, that would handle it well. It's cut time, and we've started to see some of the cuts trickle out of the Texans. We promise you that if any more come out, that we will give them to you right away here on Sports Radio 610. Who would
turn
you
turn into a full stream instead of a trickle?
That's it, man. It really is.
No
really.
Prostate issues on this. We're gushing it.
Not for the Texans, man. They've got a nice flow going.
Like a 15-year-old that's had too much Gatorade. Just let it loose.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
You lucky little bastards. You know how good you have it.
We'll keep you tuned in on all that coming up next.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket. Follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.